The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. And it is November the 29th. That's Tuesday. And the significance of today is that it's the week of the return of Tiger Woods. So we'll be talking about that all week on the show here as Tiger gets back into action after over 15 months of inactivity as far as golf, competitive golf goes. He'll be hosting the Hero World Challenge in Albany Resort in the Bahamas starting on Thursday. And a lot of eyes, almost everybody's eyes that care anything about golf, certainly, but even the sports world is checking out Tiger Woods because he is an iconic figure that transcends just golf. And so a lot of people are going to be very, very curious to see how he does. Coming up in just a little bit, we have Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, who's been around Tiger an awful lot, to give us his opinion about what we might expect to see from Tiger coming up this week to see if indeed he's anything close to what he used to be or how far he still needs to come to get back to anything close to where Tiger Woods was. And the real question, will he ever be close to what Tiger Woods was 5 and 8 and 10, 15 years ago? Hard to imagine he will be, but we've seen a lot of golfers at his age. Again, he's not even quite 41 yet. Certainly have a lot of success. So it's not like we're talking about a 50 or 54-year-old guy here that may not be able to hang on. He's still young enough, but you have to ask about his body being torn down. He might have the body of a 55-year-old after all the surgeries and injuries that he's had over the last 15 years. Join us, as always, from the Nashville studios is Frank Bassett. And Frank, not only welcome you in, but also I'm curious, I keep watching the news, and even though Nashville has stayed fairly out of the drought picture as far as the storms, the fires and everything else that are going on all around Tennessee and into Carolinas, it sure looks like Nashville's getting closer and closer to some of that that area there. What's it like there?
It's a ways away, but Gatlinburg, where Dolly World or whatever it's called, Dollywood is. Yeah. 100 homes are gone. It's threatening the park, threatening hotels. They're trying to evacuate people. There's been some injuries. So it's bad. It's really bad over in East Tennessee. We've got some storms coming in tonight. Had some last night, some storms tonight. Hopefully we'll get a lot of rain in the hills of Tennessee. And, you know, say a quick prayer for those folks. And it's not good. It's just not good. A lot like Simi Valley, California right now here in Tennessee.
Yeah, it looks terrible because you see those forest fires and they had winds of over 60 miles an hour, which only helps whip them further and further up and down the mountainsides. And it looks terrible because you can't do anything about it. I mean, the firefighters even have a hard time getting in there and to see people's houses perished. And like you said, resorts and things like Dollywood, just a tough, tough time. So hopefully those storms will kind of wash some of the way. So I'm glad to hear. I didn't know if Nashville is getting more. Do you have soot and everything? Do you have bad air quality there even? Not even that?
Not really. Okay. No, nothing in Nashville. One other thing before you bring in our good friend Steve Johnson is prayers go out to the families of the Brazilian soccer team. Plane crash.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Charter plane, Brazilian soccer team. Reminds me of a university in this country years ago. Football team.
Right. Yeah.
So sad. Yeah. Prayers and thoughts go out to their families.
Yeah. Yep, that happened in Colombia, outside of Medellin, that they went down. So, yeah, some bad news happening in the sports world there. So hopefully and a few survivors. I don't know how that happened. So some people actually survived that plane crash.
But in what condition?
A miracle.
But in what condition? Yeah, we'll you know, you saw that plane on the ground, and it's not much.
Just terrible.
Yeah,
just terrible.
Didn't mean to bring the downer in, but we all, you know, we think a lot about our brethren on this show. So.
Yeah. As we were saying, Tiger Woods getting back into action at the Hero World Challenge coming up on Thursday. And here to join us to talk a little bit about it, give us his 2 cents worth, which is worth a little bit more than 2 cents because he knows Tiger Woods very, very well when he was around Hank Haney during all those wonderful years when Tiger and Hank were winning combined a number of major championships. Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, joins us now. Stevie Ray J, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, guys. And to add a little glasses half full here, the weather is perfect here in Dallas, Texas, and we're really looking forward to Tiger teeing it up on Thursday.
Yes, we are. We are certainly looking forward to that. So you and I talk all the time, and you've been skeptical of Tiger's comeback, whenever that might be. And we've talked about this for the last few months when everybody's wondering, when is he going to come back? What will it be like? And you have been a bit skeptical of his game and the quality of his game when it does come back. So how do you feel about, has anything changed? Do you feel, we saw him earlier today, he was on live on Golf Channel from the Bahamas talking about his game and playing again and being competitive. What do you expect when you see him on Thursday? He tees it up alongside Patrick Reed on Thursday morning. What are you hoping or thinking you're going to see?
Well, I'm hoping to see some great golf, but I mean, it is just a wait and see for me because, you know, when we listened to Tiger Woods, he was just on the Golf Channel, you know, talking to Damon Hack, and he says all the right things. He says, you know, he's feeling good. He's, you know, he's hitting a lot of shots. He can control his ball. The patterns of his chipping and pitching have changed, and he's got that under control. So, I mean, when you listen to Tiger talk, it sounds like, man, he should be, he could be a dominant force again, but it's just a wait and see for me. I mean, he probably said the same thing before he teed it up at the Hero World Challenge a couple of years ago. I'm sure he's having some flashbacks of Isleworth where he was ping-ponging the ball back and forth over the green with his four iron chips and skulls and chunks. I think that he is not dealing with some issues that will show themselves on Thursday and Friday.
When he plays with the players that he'll be competing with, and it's an 18-man field, and it's some of the prime golfers in the world, including Jordan Spieth and Bubba Watson and Justin Rose and Patrick Reed, as we mentioned, Brooks Koepka, Zach Johnson, Dustin Johnson, some great, great players, Ricky Fowler, that he'll be playing with. But a limited field, there's no cut, so he'll play four rounds no matter what happens. Is that a good environment, you think, for him to start versus the Safeway or another full field event that he could have played in and been paired with whoever they would have paired him with? Is it better for him to be playing kind of like an intimate group of friends versus a full field, or would it be better for him if he was just one of 140 players?
Well, there's no place to hide with 18 players in the field. There's nowhere to hide. He has four rounds guaranteed unless he pulls out because of injury some reason. That's not good news for a guy that has issues. I thought the Safeway would have been a much safer debut because, you know what, if he would have played bad, it would have been two rounds. We would have forgotten about it by now. He would have taken an inventory of where he was in his game and what he needed to work on and then ask himself, hey, do I want to pay the price to get back to a competitive level? When he pulled out, that was a big question mark in my mind. When he pulled out of the Safeway Open, just thinking, you know, he'd already been out for 14 months. He had been hitting balls. At least he'd been saying he'd been hitting balls. But you know what, Tim? Our buddies at the Medalist Club, where he's a member, never see him there. So, I mean, he says he's hitting balls, but no one knows where he's hitting balls. We used to know where he was hitting balls when he lived at Isleworth. He'd just walk across the street, and he'd be out on the range every day, almost all day. Now, yesterday, when he was practicing, he said he hit balls on the range for 2 hours. Now here's a guy that hasn't played competitively in 15 months, and according to Hank Haney, he should be playing as many holes as he can because you got to get in playing shape. You got to play shots on the golf course. Playing them on the driving range is far from playing shots when you're actually going to try to shoot a score. So Hank's recommendation was, hey, you just need to play as many holes as you can. Get in the cart, play holes. And then yesterday, he's out on the driving range for 2 hours. That doesn't really make sense to me. Other than the driving range is his safe place. That's a place where he's very comfortable. And my projection is that he's just trying to feel comfortable. He's trying to get comfortable back. The 17 other guys he's going to play with, Tim, are not an issue to him. It's all of his battles are going to be within himself. The hitting it left and right. Now, we saw some shots yesterday where he teed it real low. Looks like anytime a guy tries to tee it low, he's either trying to hit it low or he's trying not to hit a foul ball. When you tee that ball up pretty high, like Bubba Watson does, you can get a lot better launch on the ball, but you're always subject to missing the ball left and right. Now, in his Instagram videos, Tiger was teeing it pretty low. So, you know, I can't wait, to be honest. And Hank is very optimistic about Tiger's performance and what we'll see. But even the odds makers have him 40-1 to win this week. 40-1, that's the highest odds of anyone. So the odds makers aren't giving him too good of a chance.
He talked about also, and we're talking again with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, He talked today in his interview on Golf Channel about getting back into golf shape. And a lot of people don't think of that as, okay, basketball shape, football shape, baseball shape, because you don't run and jump and do some of the things that you do in those other sports. But he said, you know, as far as your swing muscles, as far as even getting calluses back on your hands, the different things that you have to do to be ready to be playing golf if you would have been playing for the last 15 months, he's got to get back into that shape. Is that going to be any concern? He's always seems like he's so physically fit and always been in better shape almost than everybody else, although his body has been tearing up a little bit. Is there any concern that he – I'm remembering back when his glutes didn't fire. Was that the term he used when he had one of his comebacks a couple of years ago? Is there any problem, you think, physically that he might have some issues in the next 4 days or the 4 days of the tournament?
Oh, I'm sure he'll come up with some. I asked Hank yesterday, how long do you think it's going to take him before he starts limping on the golf course? He's a person that really wants to be an athlete. Now, he is an athlete. He's one of the elite athletes, but I think he feels a little bit insecure around the buddies that he used to hang around that are very physical in their athletic performances. Ken Griffey Jr., Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, guys that have always battled injuries and overcome injuries. I can remember back in the day when Hank used to help him, there was a big joke on what injury is Tiger going to overcome this week, you know? And yeah. It was just really a disguise for the fact that he was losing motivation to practice. He would still lift weights, and he's been, you can see by his body, although he is leaner, he is very muscular. And so to say that I'm not in golf shape, I don't have calluses, I'm sure he's got some calluses from weightlifting. I mean, just holding on to bars and holding on to bands and barbells and things like that, your hands are going to get tough. And you know, there's a lot of smokescreen information that he's talking about. He mentioned this morning that, you know, the grain of the grasses at Albany are going to be tough for him. Well, this is a guy that's been playing competitive golf for almost 35 years, you know, and it's amazing that he says he's going to be depending on his caddy to read the grain. There's nobody that reads putts better than Tiger Woods. I mean, that's one of the reasons he was such a great putter. But you hear him speak, and you add everything up. It sounds good when he's saying it, but you add it up, and it just does not make sense.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how he plays this out and what his mindset is going to be and how he handles things if indeed he doesn't, as the oddsmakers think, he's going to finish closer to 18th than he is first place at this tournament. But at some point, Steve, he has to get out, even if you're saying go play a lot of golf and go play with your buddies, get out there on the golf course. He also has to play competitive golf, doesn't he? Because there's a whole different set versus playing with you and me and buddies of his and shooting 65s or whatever he might do when he actually is out on a golf course competitively with fans and cameras and competitors around him that he's playing with. He's got to get some of those under his belt, doesn't he? I mean, it might take several tournaments before he kind of even gets back to the mode. We think Tiger Woods is different than every other golfer, and indeed, in a lot of ways, he is. But that's kind of the MO for almost every golfer coming back off of an injury and a long layoff, is they've got to get back into competitive golf and get a number of rounds under their belt before they're really comfortable, even between their ears.
That's exactly right, Tim, because you know, there's ways to build confidence, and one of those is just playing holes, which he needed to do. I don't know if he's done that. And then seeing better shots gives you confidence to go to the next level and, you know, to put it on display on television. This jump that he's taken, I'm not sure if it's hard to believe Tiger Woods would ever be pressured into doing anything, but this is he didn't play in the tournament last year because of injury. He played miserably the year before at Isleworth. Maybe there was pressure on him to play this tournament. Well, it just doesn't really make sense if he's going to try to get back into shape because he's playing this tournament. Then he doesn't have another tournament. His regular schedule usually starts in San Diego in February, the Farmers. So then you've got a tournament early December, and then you don't have another tournament till February. That just doesn't really make sense that he's – you know, dedicating himself right now to play. I think that there's some other issues that the reason that he's debuting at this tournament is these are the sponsor that has put a lot of money into the Tiger Woods Foundation, a sponsor that picked him up when Tiger Woods was subject to a lot of other companies dropping him. I mean, we look at Accenture, we look at Tag Heuer, we look at, you know, some of the big sponsors that Tiger had that dropped him. And Hero Motorcycles picked him up and is a big sponsor of this tournament. I think there may be some pressure from external sources for him to play here. Tim, before I leave, I need to ask you a question, because it's been well documented on the show that you have suffered from the chipping yips. So when you're going to go play, when you're going to go play a tough course, because the parallel is, this is an apples to apples comparison, Tim.
Oh, it sure is. Yeah,
it is. Because the anxiety that you feel is the same anxiety that a guy like Tiger Woods feels that has come off episodes of yipping chips. So what do you think, does it have, when you're playing with your friends, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking, oh, I hope I don't hit it in that position that I'm vulnerable in? Or do you have a plan for if you get in that position, or are you just hoping for the best?
No, I actually try, I use your advice, which is try not to put yourself in a 30-yard tight lie chip situation that's going to be the problem for you. So either lay it back further. But obviously you miss hit shots, right? Okay, I'm going for the green and I miss hit it. Okay, now I'm 20 yards short or whatever, or the ball comes back off the green and I'm in a position I didn't want to be in. So first I try not to put myself there, but when I find myself there, I try to have as much confidence as I can. And it always starts, if the first couple of holes I have some little chips and they're not too bad, I'm usually pretty good for the whole round. If, on the other hand, I lay the sod over, or I knock out a couple of windows on a house a couple of fairways over with my chip, then I got trouble. And I pull out the hybrid. I pull up my pool cue. Everything I've got in my bag, I start using. So I know pretty quickly, and I'm guessing if Tiger's similar in that mindset of that weirdness that goes on in anybody's head when they can't chip or putt or whatever, I guess we're going to know pretty early on when he's got that situation. I would imagine he's going to do everything he can to not leave himself with those same kind of situations, because when you do it, you're just sitting there, you walk up to the ball and you're just going, oh God, oh, okay. Which Jekyll or Hyde, which guy shows up today?
That's exactly what Tiger Woods is going through. So you are in the mind of Tiger Woods right now, because it's the same. It's the same. The issue doesn't have anything to do with how many cameras are on you, Tim, or how many competitors are the right high world ranked competitors that you're playing against. It has to do with you and the shot that you're trying to hit. And that's the big question mark for me with Tiger Woods' comeback.
Hey, by the way, and Steve, before we let you go, again, we're talking with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. So Tiger plays in this event, and no matter what he does, how he does, assuming he's healthy and everything's fine going forward, what do we expect from him for this full year coming up, 2017 season? We assume he'll have a full schedule and play and whatnot. People wonder, will he win a major again? Will he ever win again? And that's a big question mark, too, regardless of how he starts or how he plays in his first tournament here. What do you expect of him season long for 2017?
Man, I don't see anything really great happening, to be honest. Because it all has to do with his motivation to get back. There's no doubt about it. He's the most talented golfer that's ever lived. But guys do lose their motivation. We see that with other golfers. They get in different times of their life. I mean, Tiger Woods had traumatic off-course issues that he dealt with. You know, not only his father dying, who was a big part of his game, his marriage falling apart, his being exposed, you know, as really a fraud. You know, he was talking about it. Oh, I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better person. And he's out cheating on his wife. When that pyramid fell down, his whole life changed. And now, instead of being a competitor that was loved to intimidate other players, now he's trying to be part of the guys. He's one of the bros. You know, he wants to go on a brocation with Ricky. So I think his motivation has totally changed, and I just don't know that he wants to climb that mountain again. And you can talk about it, and we know a lot of people that talk big games, but he knows what it takes to get there, and I don't know if he's willing to pay that price.
He's got to change equipment, too. Is that factor into anything here? As he's trying to come back off of a long layoff, he's now going to have to try to, and it sounds like he's kind of leaning towards TaylorMade equipment going from Nike. Is that going to be a big change for him, or is a guy at that level can kind of play with a hockey stick and still be fine?
Nah, you know, his feel is very acute. The guys at Nike used to joke around. They'd give him three drivers, and they'd all be within the weight of a dollar bill. And he could pick out which one was the heaviest and which one was the lightest. He's got a feel that's incredible. Now, what I've heard is he has his Nike irons are still in play, but he's going with the TaylorMade Woods. Now, he's going with a Bridgestone golf ball, too. He's going with a new golf ball, which is a big departure from the Nike golf ball that he used to have. So sure. He says now that he's changed his ball, he's got full control and he can hit all the shots. And so, I mean, I'm just waiting with anticipation. I'm hoping for the best, but you know what? We may see that NASCAR crash, too.
Hey, by the way, in that same interview that Tiger had on Golf Channel this morning with Damon, also there was Bubba Watson. Bubba making a revelation to a lot of people that he kind of got the message that he wasn't picked to be on the Ryder Cup team, was there as a vice captain, but not as a player, and that he's going to make some changes because he doesn't want to miss out on those opportunities. He's still young enough and talented enough to make several more Ryder Cup teams in his thinking, but he does want to be left off the team if he doesn't automatically qualify because of personality issues. What'd you think? What'd you take away from that?
You know what, Bubba Watson, I've gotten to know him just a little bit off the course. And Bubba Watson is a really nice guy and a solid guy that tries to do the right thing. You know, he wants to be a well-rounded person. I think that he's taken to heart what Davis Love said by not picking him. And you know what? I think he's going to do his best, and he's got a great support system in his wife and his family. And Bubba Watson is socially awkward, though. You know, I mean, we see it. And some of that stuff is just out of his control. And you know what? I hope he does get picked. He deserved to get picked this time. Davis Love's not picking him. It's just like Davis Love not picking Hunter Mahan, who was the ninth-rated guy. And, you know, just the first guy not to get picked that wasn't exempt for the Ryder Cup a few years ago. Davis Love has a knack for that. But I think the point was well taken by Bubba Watson. We'll just wait and see.
Well, yeah, we will see how that plays out. What's kind of interesting. They both actually seem very relaxed, and Tiger does seem, at least mentally, from the interview, seems mentally having a good time, ready to play again, loves being around the players, the guys. As I said before, he's not quite 41, will be in about another month. Knows he has a lot of time left to play golf. We'll just see if all the injuries add up to him not physically being able to do it, or mentally, if he has any issues with it. But there's no denying, Steve, that golf is better. The world of golf, the world of sports in general, are better with Tiger Woods competing. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we remember, this is a player that was number one in the world for 683 consecutive weeks. We've never seen anything like that since they've been keeping the world record, world golf rankings. He is now ranked 898th in the world. He could be comeback player of the year.
Well, we'll see. You're exactly right. I mean, who would have thought? But, yeah, he could be, because nobody's fallen like he has and could move up. As a matter of fact, just playing in this tournament, they said he's going to move up 150 spots. That may not seem exactly fair because he could shoot whatever he shoots. But just playing in this event, he will move up 150 spots from 898. So he'll be under 700. Or under 800 when the tournament's over with. But it's going to be fascinating to watch, and it all gets started on Thursday. So we'll see with bated breath exactly how Tiger Woods' comeback plays out right before our eyes and in the eyes of millions of golf fans all over the world. Steve, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and we'll have you on next week. We'll talk about what happens with Tiger. We'll see what predictions happen and how he does play, and we'll talk to you again next week and get a little bit more perspective on it after the tournament is over with, okay?
That sounds great. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks so much. Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. And Frank, obviously some good insight there. And he was around Tiger through all the great times, but also the downfall. You remember he was still with Hank Haney at the time when the whole debacle happened with his family life and everything. And and Steve was right there next to Hank through a lot of it. So he certainly had a lot of insight into how things played out and the personality and seeing the differences now with what happened, Tiger, and here he is now going through what he's gone through. And we've talked to Tiger. I mean, we've talked to Steve a number of times on the show, and he's brought up a lot of people didn't know until maybe Hank wrote his book, the workout habits of Tiger, and how Steve talked about that all the time, saying we couldn't believe what this guy would do to try to get ready for a golf tournament. It was like he was trying to be a linebacker in the NFL. They're like, no kidding, you're going to get hurt.
Navy SEAL training is what he did. He trained with the Navy SEALs. I mean, come on, man. That is just crazy. Yeah.
He jumped out of towers, right, like a paratrooper. Yeah. I mean, he jumped. And so Steve said he'd come back from those things limping, and Hank would be like, what the heck? Well, he wouldn't want to be forthright with everything because he knew he's going to get yelled at by Hank saying, what are you doing? So he would just kind of say that. Well, they found out later it's because he was doing paratrooper training and he twisted a knee. And they're like, are you kidding me? You're the best golfer in the world and you've got 12 more majors in front of you if you just keep your body healthy.
Well, let me tell you, and we have an arm of Golf Talk America, which is WRPG Entertainment in Los Angeles. We manage some artists, some big name artists, and they have in their contract they can't scuba dive, can't free dive. And Tiger
ride
free
motor,
dives. Do you realize that Tiger is a big free diver?
Right. Which explain to people if they don't know what that is.
Oh, you just take a deep breath and go as deep as you can and get back up. And they train themselves.
It's very dangerous.
It's extremely dangerous. So, like I'm saying, out in Hollywood, some of the actors or artists we have, in their contracts, they can't do certain things. I don't understand why Tiger wasn't excluded from some of the things he was doing when he's got American Express and AT&T and Nike and on and on and on. Big dollars, $70 million, $80 million, $100 million coming in. But well, who knows? But, all that being said, that's a bunch of noise, really. He's back. He's going to play this week. I'm watching on TV. We were going to be there and decided to hold off on going because we weren't sure what was going to happen and wanted to, get the biggest bang for the buck for our major travel sponsor, our big sponsor, which is Azalea Hospitality, Azalea House, AzaleaHospitality.com. So we held off. We got a meeting today, by the way, with all of our sponsors. So cross your fingers.
Well,
I got a conference call, so there.
he'll be playing again, and we don't know. As Steve said, he normally comes back for Torrey Pines at the beginning of every year, but maybe he'll come back sooner than that. Maybe he'll go to Pebble Beach. I don't know that he'd go to Hawaii, but we'll see. And so expect us to probably be there when he does get back into maybe a regular scheduled events. And the thing with Tiger that's tough when it comes to us and Azalea House and anybody that's trying to follow Tiger is he's always been very tight to the vest of his announcing his schedule, right? So we don't always know. A lot of these other guys, we kind of know 5-6 weeks in advance. Well, in Tiger's case, a lot of times he does almost like at Safeway. He kind of lets you know the week of, okay, I'm going to be there, or the week before he's going to be somewhere. So it makes it a little bit more difficult, but we'll be there. So if he gets back in California, which I'm sure he will, he loves playing out there, then we'll get out there to see firsthand. And so that you, Frank, can get out on the range with him and work with him. Because until that happens, he has no chance until you can help with.
We're watching his swing. I'm watching the replay as in the studio here of Morning Drive and watching his swing. And if you look at Tiger, and I've always said this, Tiger Woods basically is an inverted pyramid. Turn a pyramid upside down, and that's what he looks like. He has the same legs I have. I've got skinny little legs, but I have broad shoulders. And, of course, he's a little more muscular from the waist up than I am now at my age. But still, all that upper body strength and that torque that he puts on his lower body, his lower back and his ankles and legs, that's a lot for those little legs. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what is interesting, too, is, and I've said this since day one, that other big bombers, if you want, that are out there, and Bubba Watson comes to mind, I've said oftentimes, I've never seen a guy, athlete, whether you want to put air quotes or not, but an athlete, a professional athlete, with smaller arms than Bubba Watson.
Oh, yeah.
He's got no biceps.
I mean, he's not a gym rat.
He's not a gym rat at all. His forearms to his bicep is one solid. It doesn't change. There's no buildup versus what you're saying about Tiger. Yet he rips the cover off the ball. So the point is, Tiger doesn't have to have linebacker shoulders to hit the golf ball well or hit it far. He can be lean, and you want to be leaner. And that's kind of where he's almost self-destructed, and they're worried about Ricky doing the same thing. Rory talked about that. He wants to be on the cover of magazines, and so he has been. So he can show off his abs, and he can show off his guns. Well, that's not really what helps a golfer.
Lexi Thompson did that on Golf Digest, didn't she? Or was it Sports Illustrated? Yeah. Sports Illustrated, I believe.
It was Sports Illustrated.
Good gracious.
So sometimes you take it too far. And so back to what I was saying before with Steve, he goes, Tiger would be in the gym before he'd go play golf when he was working out with Hank. and he would be in the gym for an hour and a half lifting weights before he'd go play. Oh, you're like, well, nuts. You don't need to be doing that. If you want to do some crunches and some different things for your core, that's fine. But you don't need to be grabbing 50-pound dumbbells and doing curls. Well, that's not going
to
help you.
Well, it's all going to come to light Thursday. We'll see what happens with Mr. Woods at Albany, which is absolutely gorgeous, by the way. It's a must-go destination place. Beautiful down there.
He's playing with Patrick Reed. I'm curious.
That's strange.
Speaking of the opposite body build.
Yeah, well, that is just a draw.
To Patrick Reed. Yeah. So I guess it was blind. I don't know. I mean, it's Tiger's tournament. I guess he could do anything he wants to do. But he's playing with Patrick Reed at noon. Ironically, Golf Channel starts coverage at noon. So we'll see pretty much, I think, the entire round for Tiger. And it will be very, very interesting to see Tiger. He does like Patrick. I know that. So that's probably a good pairing for him so that he's playing with a friendly guy. The field, again, as we mentioned, is a pretty top field. But there's some other guys that probably Tiger's not as familiar with, including Emiliano Grillo is playing there as well. Matsuyama is playing, Louis Oosthuizen. So there's some other foreign players that certainly Tiger knows everybody, but that he may not be as familiar with, or a bigger age gap. Who would have thought that at this point Tiger's now the senior citizen? If you saw the interview with Bubba, Bubba was talking about Tiger. And I don't think there's much of an age gap there, but Bubba was talking about Tiger as kind of almost like Jack Nicklaus. You know, we all look up to Tiger. We all grew up wanting to be Tiger. I'm like, well, you're only like 4 years younger than Tiger, I think. So, you know, it's not even that big a deal, but it does mean an awful lot to these guys. Snedeker and all these guys, it means an awful lot to have Tiger. Cause let's be honest, if it wasn't for Tiger, Frank, a lot of these guys would not have the three Porsches in the garage that they have today.
Well, yeah, it, certainly. But in addition to that, a lot of the charities wouldn't have the millions that they have today, too. So it's all been good. There's, you know, some people say, well, the players make too much money. Well, but the more money they make, the more money goes to charity and stays on the PGA Tour, stays in the area where the tournament is. So it all works out. It's all good.
Yep. Well, they all appreciate it.
I'm always about the charity and all that, but Tiger Woods' quote was, "Everybody thinks I'm dead now." That was a quote from Tiger Woods. Everybody thinks I'm dead now. And what he did say, interestingly enough, for our listeners, what he did say this morning, and what we should do is probably put up a podcast of his interview today when he goes into the media center. In fact, we'll do that. But what he did say is everything's changed with him and changing clubs. He's always used glued hosels. Now everything is adjustable. He's right now going to adjustable woods, okay, or whatever, the driver, the three wood, the fairway wood. So now he's working with all the adjustments. He said, used to, you know, we go out with 12, 14 drivers. Now you come out with two or three heads and eight or 10 shafts, and you just start playing and tinkering. So he said that's a huge adjustment for him. That was really strange to hear. But wish him all the best. I mean, and every penny he wins. Sure. I want to see him win because all that money goes back to his foundation. He donates 100% of his winnings in this tournament back to the foundation. So
started his foundation back in 99. Yeah. Remember, he turned pro in 96. So a few years into his professional career, he started this foundation, and it's doing phenomenally well.
Yes.
And you're right. Great for him to be able to do that. Through all the turmoil and struggles and everything else, the foundation has always been there for him and he for it. And as you said, donated millions and millions of dollars to help. And he talked about that today, how proud he is of that. And I think that shows the maturity of Tiger, too. And we talk about his evolution as everybody goes through, that he feels almost as proud of what his foundation has done and helped people. And he had some specific examples of a woman who needed this or children that and what they could do as a foundation. So it's nice to see that means so much to him while he's trying to go through all the other things of getting back on the golf course and playing. As I said, bottom line, the world of golf is so much better with Tiger there. We all want to see it. And how dramatic and great would it be if he actually is in contention at Augusta? That's probably being a little bit too optimistic. But if he's even close to being in contention, if he comes to the weekends at majors and Tiger's somewhere there, or at least on the leaderboard, first couple of pages, it's different. It's exciting. It's where we want it to be because it's great seeing him there. I remember in the day, Frank, we'd watch, you know, in the last 5, 8, 9 years ago, Sunday would come on a major, and Tiger obviously didn't always have the lead on Sunday, but he would be around. His name stood out. They'd even extend the leaderboard. Remember, they'd go to like a second page to show Tiger was another three shots behind or something. You're like, okay, well, there's Tiger. As long as he was there, you knew it was literally like a tiger in the jungle. He could pounce. Something great could happen.
Tiger Woods was bad for my data plan. Okay, he really was, because I was streaming, the tournaments on iPads and iPhones, and yeah, he was bad for my data plan. But I could not watch when he was in the hunt. Could not watch. It's just must see TV.
No better putter. Let's see how his putting is going too, because as we talked about every other part of his game, the putting is really what I think Tiger won so much with and dominated the golf course, because he doesn't have the length anymore. And he was longer early on, but it was pretty quick where other guys were kind of catching up to him. And John Daly preceded him as a big bomber. There have been other guys that hit the ball long. But when Tiger needed to make a 20-foot par putt, he would do it almost uncanny how he had the ability to do that. That's what I want to see is his putting. Not that there's a major on the line this weekend, but can he drain those putts that he is always so good at draining to keep his score in line? Because you start missing those, and when he was coming back before, we remember the bad chips, but he also wasn't putting very well. And suddenly those bogeys and bogeys and bogeys would add up, and that's where you got a 77 that a few putts made would have been a 72, and it could have made a big difference. Sure. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm anxious to see how his flat stick is going.
Where the irons go with him, where those irons go. Because that's the ball change is huge, as we all know in golf. That's a huge change. So he didn't change the ball and the irons at the same time. But there'll be an iron change, and we'll see what that is.
I can't imagine hitting that first drive, right? That first drive off the first at Albany on Thursday. He knows everybody's going to be watching and expecting him to, hit it into the ocean. So it's going to be interesting to see what ball flight. Does he play a cut? Does he play something safer? Let me just get it and play. I would. I mean, I know I'm not Tiger, but oh my God, I just want to somehow find a fairway. Even if I'm 230 out on my second shot, just get me in a fairway and not underneath a tree. I don't want to have to scramble off the first hole. So anyway, we can talk about it all day.
December golf, baby. Here we go.
I mean,
here
now we care. Now we care.
I'm excited. Well, we cared the whole time, but still, this is exciting stuff. 16 months off. He's back.
We'll see.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I don't know. I may get a wild hair and get on a plane. You never know what I may do.
Rent a boat. Go to Miami. Get over there somehow.
Well, I know. We could still
go. Swing by Cuba on the way.
Yeah,
what's going on over there.
I'll take the Trump princess. I'll pull it out of take his yacht. Yeah, boy, howdy. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll be talking to Azalea House today, the whole crew. So we've got a big conference call coming up. And by the way, for our listeners, because of our sponsorship of AzaleaHospitality.com of Golf Talk America and our travels, we have a special little event going on for all the people who follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk America. We're going to be giving away Masters badges, folks. Masters badges in hospitality. It's going to come through Twitter and Facebook. So if you haven't gone out and liked us, followed us on Facebook and liked us on Twitter, go do it. It'll be worth your while. It's going to be an honest, blind draw from the people who follow us. And but disclaimer. Anybody with the PGA Tour or with any of the golf media publications is ineligible to win. So it's going to be our listeners. So
there'll be a lot of people out there. Yeah, exactly. And what – I mean, that's the hottest ticket in the world.
It
so
is.
If you want to get there, you got a chance with us to get some passes. What's better than a free day at the Masters?
And free hospitality at Azalea House. On Golf Talk America with Tim and I and Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort. And hang out with the NFL alumni, and which is going to be really cool, and get to hang out with a member or two from the band The Who and Laura Brina. It's going to be a big deal. So I'm telling our listeners,
go like it. And see that really cool truck. What's that truck we're bringing out?
The food truck. Azalea House is bringing in a food truck that looks like a transformer. An 18-wheeler pulls up.
They open that thing up, and it takes about 40 minutes
to open
the whole thing open up into and it's like a whole village. It's this town that
it
comes
takes
on a trip.
Village.
Yeah. It is amazing. It's worth coming to see us just for that.
Well, we're going to be doing three shows a day live on Jumbotrons on all four corners of Azalea Street, which we're just steps away from the gate of the Masters.
Yeah.
Right. Azalea Hospitality is just at the bottom of the hill, Azalea House. Going to have Folds of Honor there. We're going to have Top Golf there. We're going to have simulators. We're going to have Blast Motion. Yeah.
Equipment. You're going to be putting. You're going to be hitting balls.
Everything. Seymour Putter's going to be there with putters. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're working with a golf club manufacturer, several of them right now. We're about to make a selection on who's going to be there at the house with us. So going to be giving away golf clubs and drawings, and it's going to be a great, fun experience. Disney World for the Masters. Here we go.
And Tiger will be there.
And Tiger will be there.
Your chance to see Tiger, because the Masters is invitational. So people forget that, you know, he hasn't won in forever. And
doesn't matter. Won.
The day may come when he doesn't have exemptions anymore to some of, but he'll be able to play the Masters for a lot
forever,
more years.
Forever. Yeah. As long as probably he wants to. Yeah. So it's been fun.
It's been
fun today. Steve's always great to
and yeah, very honest. Yeah,
Steve's very honest, and Steve Johnson is a good friend of yours, and becoming a better friend of mine as I get to know him more. But he's a first class dude. I like him a lot. Good guy.
Yeah, he is a cool guy. All right, well, we're out of time, and we do appreciate everybody for listening to us. We'll be talking to you later this week. All about Tiger this week. It's all Tiger all the time right here, Golf Talk America. Thank you to Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for joining us. And also on behalf of Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We do appreciate you listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. And please join us next time right here. See you then.